long wooden beam. I'm not going to hit anybody with it, don't worry. You can start placing bets of when it'll fall during the sermon. This is a height chart that is we hang in our house. Lachlan turned 4 last week, so it was a big time to measure him. He's around here now. He's almost at the 4, which is kind of cool. Today we've been preaching through 1 Thessalonians, and today the passage that we're looking at talks a lot about growth, about growing closer to God in different ways. And so I wanted to bring this up as a visual, and a lot of us know our own height, some of us know our exact height, some of us don't care what our exact height is. In high school, I played a lot of basketball, and it turns out, you know, when you play basketball, it's good to be taller than my height. And so, I had this lingering hope, though. You know, I always kept hearing that men sometimes grew until they're 21 or 22, and I was like, there's hope. I could still grow. And I stopped at 13. So I was this height at 13, and that was it. And I was like, you know, I was still, once I passed 21, I was like, I guess that's over. I stopped trying. But there's different areas of our lives where we wish we could grow, and there's other areas where we wish we didn't grow. Some of the obvious ones that we do wish we could grow in are things like having, you know, more money. Having money that would, you know, grow either in our bank accounts or in our retirement or just having the capacity that, you know, meeting the needs on a monthly basis was easy enough to do. That our money was just easy to grow. That investments were not, you know, high risk to get a good return, that it just gave you a return. That's one area that, you know, it's obvious that we'd like us to grow. Also, you know, potentially, if you own a company or you have a product that you move or something, you wish that your sales or the amount of employees you have would grow easily, that it wouldn't be such a struggle for that to take place. An obvious one that probably pertains to every single one of us is that our free time. We wish that our leisure time, our hobby time, our free time, our capacity to spend time with people, our friends and our family, we wish that that was just larger. You know, it wasn't a 40-hour work week, it was a 4-hour work week, and we could spend the rest of it doing whatever we wanted, right? So get paid the same amount. It doesn't work like that, but we wish sometimes we wish it did. And these are areas, some things that we wish we just naturally grow in. There's a lot of things that also we'd rather not grow in that seems to just happen by default. Things like, you know, debt. Having lots of debt. And me being a younger person, I know a lot what it's like to be in student loans and to be in car payments and to be in things like that. And it's just like, yeah, there's good debt, there's bad debt. I just, in general, I don't like debt, as most people don't. And it's not something that we'd like to grow. Sometimes it's necessary in something moving forward or making big decisions in life, but it's not always our favorite thing. Sometimes we don't want our health problems to grow as well. There's a tape measure for, you know, measuring your waistline. You don't want that to grow, but sometimes it does. And, you know, every Christmas they seem to shrink your clothes more. I don't know why. But we don't want our health problems to grow or to have more issues with our body, to have things going wrong. I mean, I've just turned 30 and I'm like starting to have these chronic pains in my elbows for this past year. I'm like, when did I get old? Like, come on. I know. But it's still, it's like, you don't want these things. My body doesn't recover the same way it used to. I used to bounce the ground and hit off. Now I just bounce and kind of stay there and wait until maybe have a nap, then get back up. But you don't want your health problems to grow. They're not fun to deal with, you know. You don't want to spend more time in appointments and trying to figure something out. And but sometimes it just happens. There's a brilliant sculpture that someone did. If you can't quite see it, if somebody could flick the second to the far left light switch, thank you, Dave, that someone did, and it's a sculpture of a person bent over, and it's full of rocks, and they depicted it, and it speaks to a lot of people about the experience of grief, of anguish, of emotional pain. It's really touched me over this last year. But you don't want those experiences to grow. And often you would like to ignore them, but they kind of hit you from the side, and they cannot be ignored. And it's just, that's part of life. We don't want those experiences to happen to us. Now, in a perfect world, we could control our spiritual lives. We would try and grow closer to God through only the things that we dictate, the only things that we control. We try and grow closer to Him, grow our grow spiritually by just the things that we want, the things that we enjoy. But it's not often not that case. Sometimes it's a mixture of both good things and not so good things, and some just in the daily mundane in between that have the opportunity to help us grow closer to God. We're going to take a look at the First Thessalonians letter in chapter 2, leaving off where Pastor Reed left last week talking about leadership. And notice five different things that Paul wrote to them saying, you know, these are things that are happening to you or within your church body, and it's opportunity for growth. It's opportunity for you to come closer to God. There's sort of five different things there. Now, Paul didn't really expect this church to super take off, because often he would try and stay with a church once he planted it, get it going, get it trained, get leaders in place, and then move on. Like he was with the church of Ephesus for a long time. But with this one, you can read about Acts 17, he planted the church, and then a mob chases him out of town, and he cannot go back. So, like, he's writing to them a couple letters, and he's trying to encourage them and hope that they stay vibrant and they stay close to Jesus and they continue to be faithful to God. So he sends different people to try and visit the church and get reports and find out and how they're doing. So it's really crucial that this church, this small cluster of believers, continue to grow closer to God, because without that goal in mind, without doing that, they would not probably exist anymore. So we're going to take a look, starting with verse 13. It says this. Paul says this. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. He's thanking God for these people because they received, when they preached, and they received it as the word of God, not some human speech that was really good, really impressive, and they were wowed by it, but the fact that it was the gospel, it was the truth of the gospel, and that they received it wholeheartedly into their entire being. So, and that's no surprise, but we grow in God when we believe the truth of the gospel. We grow in God when we believe it. And it's not something that's just, you know, a one-time thing that we go, okay, yeah, I understand the gospel, great, I'm a Christian, great. It's something that we ingrain into our entire being over the course of our life of following Jesus. And when I say the truth of the gospel, it's the fact that, and many of us are already aware of this, but it's the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. He defeated the power of sin on the cross. And then he was raised to new life by God's presence, by God's Holy Spirit. He's raised to new life. And now we can receive forgiveness for him, for our brokenness, for our sin. We can be drawn close to God through that. And then now we, because of the Holy Spirit, because of God's presence living with us and within us, we can now live a life of righteousness. We can live a life of holiness. We can live a life apart from sin, away from wickedness, apart from selfishness. We'll struggle with it. We know that. But we are walking out our salvation and living it out because of what God has done. When we ingrain that truth into our being, we now naturally grow closer to God. I've met Christians who've been Christians a long time, and they believe it mentally, but it hasn't sunk into their hearts, into the core of their being, and they still treat themselves and other people terribly. Because they go, okay, yeah, I understand the workings of the gospel, but whether it's made an impact in terms of how they think of themselves, it's maybe not there yet. We have to ingrain it into the core of our being. Paul continues to the Thessalonian church. He says this. He says, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. So, you know, Paul's not there. They don't have a central leadership to their church. And so they could have floundered and dispersed and that was it. But no, instead they looked around and they go, okay, who's been doing this Christian thing longer than we have? That church over there in Judea. Let's do what they're doing. So, and they became imitators of what they're doing. So this is something that else. We grow in God when we copy mature Christians. When we copy other mature Christians, we become naturally trying to grow closer to God. Now, I believe strongly in mentorship. I believe strongly in Christian mentorship and guidance from other believers. When I was leaving Bible college, I had a mentor named Paul, and he sat me down. He says, when you go into pastoral ministry, Christian, I want you to find some older male Christians who you respect, because you're going to be pouring and serving into other people, and they want these older mentors to pour and serve into you. That's their focus. They pray for you. They care for you. So that's what I started doing. And just a story that shows how much God cares about this. I I had two mentors that were far, so we connected over the phone. And one of them suggested, like, hey, you should find somebody who's got their boots on the ground in Nanaimo, you respect and just know it's the culture of Nanaimo. And I said, okay, well, immediately a man pops into my mind that I hadn't seen in a long time. His name was Barry. And he was my youth leader when I was in high school in Nanaimo here. And I thought, oh, I really respected Barry. I really liked him. I think he still lives in Nanaimo. I haven't seen him in 10 years. So I have this phone call, and I hang up, and I think, okay, well, maybe I could track him down and see if he's still in town. The very next day, Jenna and I are at Vancouver Island Library, and we are returning some books. We're sitting in the car, and we're about to leave, and out walks Barry. I roll down the window, and I'm like, hey, remember me? You want to have coffee? And he goes, yeah, sure, I'd love to. So we go have coffee, and I said, by the way, I'm interested in exploring the conversation if you want to mentor me, because God wants you to, by the way. I didn't lead with that. After he said yes, I told him the backstory. But I said, you know, I respect you, and I'm looking for someone in town. He says, oh, yeah, I've actually been praying for a new opportunity like this. So, you know, it's cool how God is working and aligning people to connect and to feed each other. Because if you've ever, like, coached somebody or mentored somebody else, you know, you get a lot out of it as well. So I'm just helping Barry out. But we grow in God when we copy mature Christians. So just to recap, the first one, you know, we grow closer to God when we believe in the truth of the gospel. We grow close, and then secondly, we grow closer to God when we copy mature Christians. Now, this third area, it's not as enjoyable, it's not as likable, and it's one that also can cause a lot of growth in our relationship with God. And it's the fact that it's painful. It's when it hurts. Paul continues to these Christians to this. Since you have also suffered the same thing, these Judeo-Christians, from the people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us. They displease God, and they are hostile to everyone, by keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. As a result, they are constantly filling up their sins to the limit, and their wrath has overtaken them at last. So these new Christians, the ones in Thessalonica and the ones over in Judea, are being persecuted by Jewish people. By the first century Jews, because if they were seen as, you know, an offshoot, they were seen as a cult, a blasphemous cult that was declaring that Jesus was the Messiah, and the Jews said, no, Jesus is not the Messiah. So they're being sort of snuffed out in different ways. They're experiencing suffering, they're experiencing painful situations. Now, we can grow closer to God in our hurts. I say we can, because many of us know lots of people who've probably loved God, served God, and then something happened. Either a chronic situation, either a catastrophe, a broken relationship, hurt by a church, and they walked away. They stopped. They said, no, I can't believe in a loving God and take it with my current circumstances. Right? We've heard those situations. They can come back. God still pursues them. God still loves them. But we can allow God to grow closer to God in our hurt. And how I think it looks, how I think it in my own life and what I've seen in other people who've been through catastrophic loss, is that they still experience the same levels of depression and anxiety and hopelessness around what they're going through, grief. But they allow in their present moment to go, okay, I have no idea how to fathom the next step, or how I'll go on, or what I'll do next, or blah, blah, blah. But they declare in the present moment those three little words of, still God, I trust you. I trust you. It comes down to trust. A trust in a good and gracious and loving God in the midst of the present ongoing of circumstances. Because suffering and persecution and those types of things haven't stopped necessarily, right? They're still ongoing. Like, there's lots of organizations that look around the world today and they notice where specifically Christians are being targeted. Most obvious and most well known is in China. There's this woman named Dorothy Sun who is a leader in the Christian church in China. And she was imprisoned in a labor camp for 20 years because of her faith in Christ Jesus. In a recent interview last month, she said this. She said the persecution of the Chinese Christians never ended in China. Today, the government prohibits any foreigners, including visiting Chinese people, from preaching at any registered churches or house churches. She goes on, she says, they also prohibit local Chinese pastors from preaching in churches in other cities or provinces. Pastors have increasingly been imprisoned or put under house arrest. The persecution is still going on today, and there's worse situations going on in the Middle East than many of you have seen or read about in the news, where Christians are being targeted, put to death, and things likewise done to their families as well, families and friends. So it's awful, and we, thankfully, here in Canada, don't have that in the forefront of being a follower of Christ. We may have other sufferings that come our way or other forms of persecution that come our way, but we can grow closer to God when we hurt. One more thing to illustrate this that I really like. I just learned about this last week. I don't like planting stuff, some of you might, and like watering stuff, but I learned something about grapevines. And someone was telling me that grapevines do better and produce better grapes, make better juice, better wine, when the plant has to physically struggle a bit. When they have access to a complete water table at all times, when they have great soil, when they have easy access to sunlight where they're planted, they just don't produce very many grapes. They just produce a bunch of green leaves. They just soak it in and lounge it out and just blob there, right? Whereas if they have not so great soil, restricted water, restricted sunlight a bit, they then focus on reproducing because they're like, oh no, we're going to make it. So they produce more grapes and they actually produce better grapes in the long run, and better juice, better wine, all those different things. So it's really cool. There's a dynamic there going on that I think touches this that we're talking about that goes, okay, yeah, when there is a struggle in our faith, when there is a struggle attacking us from the outside or hurting us from the outside, there is an opportunity for us to grow closer to God. Next, I want to talk about another part that's, you know, a struggle, but it's different and it's not as talked about as much in comparison to what's going on physically around us. It says this. Paul says this to the church. He says, but as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you, which I talked about in Acts 17, a mob was trying to kill him, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return to you face to face. So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. But Satan stopped them. Now, he doesn't go unpacking what Satan physically did or not, or to stop Paul from visiting the church. Maybe he's just referring to the angry mob that wants to kill him. But he says that Satan stopped him from going. Paul acknowledges that there's a spiritual realm going on as well as a physical realm, and that there is an opposing force, Satan, that is trying to stop the work of Christ from happening. Paul viewed anything that opposed the gospel from being spread, from the work of the kingdom of God hurting it, as work of the enemy, right? And there's often three different ways that people will go with this area of the spiritual realm, with spiritual opposition. And it's that they either go so focused on it that they see a demon behind every bush and tree and twig and every person's action, and if they get cut off, you know, on the highway or anything, right? Or they swing the other way, and there's Christians who will ignore the spiritual realm completely, that doesn't engage with the physical realm, and they just go, okay, that's too messy and too confusing and too weird. I don't want to engage with it, so I'm just going to ignore it. Neither of which I say are a great balance. Thirdly, I say there's a middle one, more of a radical middle, where it goes, okay, I recognize that there is a spiritual realm going on. I recognize that there's opposition to the work of God. And in my own life, when I feel like potentially there's things that are blocking me from growing in God, there's things that are hurting me from growing closer to God or other people growing closer to God, I can attribute it to potentially the enemy, potentially that force in the world. And all it needs to do is make me more aware of how I pray. All it needs to do is make me more aware of how I move forward and the decisions I make. So I'm not just seeing obstacles and going, okay, I need to make decisions out of fear now. I need to make decisions that will keep me from spreading the gospel or growing closer to God. So I would say that we grow in God through spiritual opposition. just like that grapevine that needs to struggle a little bit, when there is spiritual opposition to our faith, there's a reason for our faith to rise up and to step forward. Lastly, the fifth reason, the fifth way that we can grow closer to God, Paul closes off chapter 2 with this. He says this: "For who is our hope or joy, our crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." He is very excited about the First Thessalonian church. He's very, no, they weren't called First Thessalonian church, sorry. That's what the letter's called, the Thessalonian church. He's very excited about them. He says, when I die and I meet Jesus, or when if Jesus returns before I die, what is going to be my most favorite thing? You. You. You are my hope and my glory. And he takes the focus off of himself and he's celebrating someone else. So we grow in God when we celebrate someone else's growth in Jesus Christ. Maybe someone else that we've led come to know the Lord. Maybe somebody that is going through a difficult thing and we just encourage them and say, "Hey, I'm really proud of you for sticking to it in the midst of this. I'm really excited for you for still sticking through with God's faithfulness and believing in it in the midst of what you're facing." When we celebrate, it takes the focus off of ourselves, and we it's almost going back to that mentoring relationship that we talked about earlier going on, and it's just a very, very, very beautiful thing. We all love encouragement. We love when people focus on us and say, "Hey, I see this in you, and I see God bringing this about in you, and I see this gift from God in you, and this is how I see God using you, and this is how God influences me through you." Like, it's we love those types of encouragement. They're beautiful things. I saw this most a lot in my late mother-in-law, Mala. She lost her 33-year-old son, and huge colossal amounts of grief, but she would declare, like, "Hey, God, I still trust you, I still love you, I still believe in your goodness," and she would still encourage other people and celebrate their walk in the Lord, even in the midst of what she was facing. She would still be very supportive of her church body, she would still speak life into other Christians. It's just like, wow, in the midst of what she's going through, she still wanted to celebrate other people's growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to close by recapping these five things that we've been talking about. First, that we grow in God when we believe the truth of the gospel. We're going to close in prayer in a little bit. And if you're here and you've never made a commitment to Christ, I'm going to pray, and it's just going to be... I'm just going to pray, and it'll be between you, me, and God if you want to make a decision to follow Christ today. Or maybe it's something that you want to recommit yourself to. You feel like you've walked away from God, and this is something that maybe you're interested in recommitting to, is to being a follower of Christ in today. Also, we grow in God when we copy mature Christians. When we're either mentored or we're mentoring someone, when we copy somebody else, when we say, "You're further down the road than we are spiritually, and you've made decisions that I like and I respect, I want to learn from you." Also, we can grow in God when we hurt, when we go through things, when it's painful, when we're going through the valley of the shadow of darkness and we don't know how to move forward. We can allow God into the midst of our pain and grow closer to Him in it. We can grow in God through spiritual opposition. Like I said, just simply being aware that there is an enemy force in this world that would have us not share Christ, that it would have us close our church doors, would have us bring hell on earth and not heaven on earth. When we're aware that there is spiritual opposition, we know it makes us wise in terms of how we pray. Makes us wise in terms of how we pray, and we can grow closer to God through it. And then lastly, we grow in God when we celebrate someone else's growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this fits into the mentoring thing. And this doesn't have to be like an ongoing mentoring. This can just be a simple phone call that you're like, "You know what? I really feel like I should be connecting with that person. Thank you. And I'm just going to call them up. Or I'm just going to email them. Or I'm just going to send them a text and encourage them and check in on how they're doing." That's all it can be, simply be, right? So, this coming week, I want you to take a look at these five things, and maybe you find yourself fitting into one of them, or two or three to really inspire you or speak to you right now, and I just want you to focus on one of them. just take it, you know, you can write it in a bulletin or write it in a phone or take it with you and just keep it at the forefront of your mind. If you're going through pain, if you're going through something like that, try to allow to simply say, I trust you, God, in the midst of what you're facing, in the midst of what you're going through. Or maybe it's something else, like you want to celebrate somebody else. I invite you then to approach somebody else, either in person or online or on the phone, and just encourage them and ask them how their walk with God is going. So we're going to pray now in a moment. Like I said before, I'm going to invite anybody who would like to accept Christ as Lord and Savior in our prayer. And I just invite us to keep our eyes closed while we pray. And it'll just be between me, that person, and Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are incredibly relational and you desire to draw close to us. You desire for this deep bond with each of us that is flourishing, that is encouraging, that brings us peace, that brings us calm, that brings us an assurance that you are with us and for us no matter what life throws at us. I thank you that there are many people here that have accepted your love and grace, that have accepted your death on the cross for their forgiveness of sins. At this point in time, if there's anybody who would like to either recommit themselves to you, Lord, or to make that decision for the first time to become a follower of you, I invite them now, everyone to keep their eyes closed, but just invite them to raise their hands just so that I may see them. Thank you. So with that, I'm just going to ask that we pray a mental prayer. Just pray this in your mind. And if you pray this, come speak to me afterwards. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I'm sorry for my sins. Please help me to follow you as Lord and Savior. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.